The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
I want to talk about a few different stories that kind of revolve around working from home to one degree or another. You might have seen these or some mention of them today. There was the news that according to the government's worst case scenario, they may have to recommend that people work from home because of a scarcity of fuel and the price of fuel later in the year. There is Heather Humphreys, the Minister for Social Protection, talking about making vouchers available so that when people are working from home, they're not necessarily at home literally all the time, that they're out in their local community at some of these remote working hubs. And there is the advice, informal as it currently is, to maybe drive a little bit less to save on petrol, given the price has increased again, petrol and diesel. I paid 2.05 per litre last night on petrol to fill the car. The Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward is with me in studio. Barry, it's good to see you. We'll start with the first a possible recommendation in a worst case scenario that, you know, people should work from home, all non-essential services. How realistic is that?
Well, I mean, suppose where people have the option, they should be working from home if at all possible. We know how expensive it is now to travel by car, but not everybody has that option, as you say. So if you're not in an area with a public transport network, it's or with good broadband, for example, it's not as easy as it might be for somebody in a rural area. So, for example, I live on the 46A in Dunleary. It's easy for me to get in and out of town and get around, and I should be using the bus therefore. I also have good broadband and I can work from home. That option isn't available to everyone. So one of the things the government is putting in place is these connected hubs around the country. It's a fantastic project that means in towns and rural villages throughout the country, there are these really well connected office spaces. And what Heather Humphreys is talking about is giving people the opportunity at a massively reduced, if not no cost at all, chance to go to those places near their homes without the need for long commutes, without the need to rely on domestic broadband, and they can connect into wherever they need to connect into from there.
So is that official policy then, Fine Gael, or government policy, work from home if you can?
Well, I mean, it's common sense, I think, if you can. But I mean, as I say, it doesn't work for everyone. Not everybody can work from home. But one of the things
it doesn't work for a city or town centre, as some might suggest. Well, you know, there's people who want to see people back in the office.
There are, absolutely. And nobody's saying that you can't go to work either. But one of the things Fine Gael has been pushing really hard, and one of the things that we have learned from the pandemic, is that for some people it suits them very well to work from home. And if that's not possible, now we have this network of connected hubs that allow people to do it. You don't have to travel a long distance to the office if the connected hub is down the road and you can go in there. You're not at home where there might be kids or cooking or whatever it is, but you can be somewhere quiet where work can be concentrated on.
If the connected hubs are so great, why do the government need a voucher scheme to incentivize people to use them?
Well, I mean, there should be incentives for anybody to use schemes that work, you know, and for the
same... If the scheme works, there shouldn't need to be an incentive.
No, but I mean, for the same reason we incentivize public transport, for example. Public transport is subsidized. We want to make it cheaper, and the government has invested in making public transport cheaper. So when something is to the benefit of everyone, of course it should be incentivized. That is just good public policy.
Let me introduce Michael McNamara, the independent TD from County Clare. Michael, do you feel the government are doing enough?
Well, I certainly have nothing against working from home, but before people start working from home, we have to make sure that there are systems in place to make sure that they can actually work from home. I mean, the pandemic, people did work from home, but I mean, in many instances, there was no system in place and some people didn't get to work at all. I mean, obviously, they remained on the state payroll, but they weren't actually facilitated in doing their job. And of course, that's the role of management, and we need to make sure that people are facilitated in doing their jobs. And most of all, that working from home works for the public who rely on public services and rely on the public sector for the delivery of those services. Then as regards reducing transport, of course we need to reduce transport costs, but you know, there was a plan leaked and it had all sorts of ideas about restricting people, but I would have thought the most obvious thing to do is to put extra public transport in place. And Barry talked about living in a place where there's lots of public transport. I mean, you know, I raised the issue of the Ballybrophy line, the old direct line to Limerick and the Dáil, just before it broke up for the vacation, and there are a couple of trains in the morning and then a couple in the evening, but like not nearly enough trains to serve to get people off the motorway. So if we're actually serious serious about it, I think we need to, instead of restricting people and, and sort of making orders, we need to actually facilitate people in changing how they move about the place. I mean, in Germany, they recently brought in a greatly reduced cost of public transport system where people can, I think, avail of, is it €9.50 or something like that for a monthly ticket. There have been calls in Ireland for public transport to be made free, and something like that, I think, should be done before the government countenance restricting travel.
Make it free.
Make it free. If you actually want to get people off the road, make it free, or make it €10 a month or something, so that it's attractive. But also put the services in place so that it's attractive before we start talking about restricting people and sort of this idea of alternate number plates and banning people travelling on alternate days and sort of ridiculous proposals like that. I mean, we've a long way to go before we get to that sector, just as sometimes it appeared that the COVID-19 was the first pandemic that humanity had ever encountered. During that crisis, we have had fuel crises in the past, and we need to look at some of the lessons that can be learned from that and maybe avoid some of the knee-jerk reactions that have been leaked leaked.
Let me go back to Barry on that.
Just to be clear, the government isn't proposing any restrictions at the moment. What you're dealing with there in terms of that leaked story is a worst-case scenario projections by civil servants whose job it is to plan for the worst-case scenario. So it's right and proper they do that, but we all hope that that will never come to pass. And in fact, everything the government is doing is designed to make sure that never comes to pass, which is why we have seen an extra €1.4 billion investment in measures that support people in terms of the cost of living. We know that it's high. We know that that cost of fuel particularly hits people in rural areas. And I hear this from my rural colleagues, Fine Gael LTDs and senators who represent rural areas. They are always talking about this issue, and they're right. And we need to provide it. But it's not really legitimate to compare, for example, transport in rural Clare to transport in Germany, where you're dealing with a much denser population, or the Netherlands, for example. I was in Rotterdam last week. The transport there is fantastic because you have a massively denser population and you have an economy of scale that works. So Michael is right, and I want to see rural transport solutions in place, but there has to be a critical mass of people who are willing to take them, Michael, for them to work.
Yes, and of course there are large parts of Germany which are as sparsely populated as Clare, if not more so, where there is a proper train infrastructure in place, which we don't have. And among the measures that you have outlined that the government have taken, I haven't seen any concrete sign of any measures to improve public transport, in particular to improve rail services on one particular line. But the same is true of many lines, railway lines across the country. While we're talking about increasing speed restrictions and penalising people, the government aren't moving to actually facilitate people in doing what they want them to do. Or at least if they are, I haven't seen it, and nor have my constituents. And going back to the idea of working from home, I mean, we need to make sure that people see a level of service.
But the government is not talking about penalising people, Michael. The government has not said.
The government is talking about
continuing.
People are sitting on the ends of phones. I don't know whether
there are road safety measures that are there.
But I have in mind,
Michael, everything the government has done.
Telephone line and not being able to get through to the government service, and many people across the country.
But Michael, you and I both know the government has done everything it can to support citizens at a difficult time, and they're continuing to do that to make it easier for people.
Okay,
you cannot insulate them from every effect.
The least that people are entitled to receive at a difficult time is to be able to ring a government department and have their telephone call answered, and people didn't receive that during the pandemic. People are still not receiving it properly because
I think there are isolated problems, but on the whole, there are many
people, including in your parliamentary party, who have highlighted this, and it's something that
and you're talking about one specific.
Go on, Michael.
Before we talk about people working from home into the future.
Well, you're talking about one specific service. On the whole, government facilities are available to people when they need them. And Michael, hang on a second, Michael.
I want to interrupt both of you. Can I ask, Michael, just for one second, because in fairness, you did bring up a point. You asked where was the government, the evidence of government investment in public infrastructure, if they're asking, or public transport infrastructure specifically, you mentioned, if they're encouraging people to use their car less. Barry, where is that evidence?
Well, there are lots of things in train at the moment. For example, in terms of public transport, there's an investment in the bus fleet, and I'm talking about the intercity bus errand fleet, not just urban services. There are lots of proposals like that. It does take a small bit of time for them to come on stream, but you can see the roots of them in budgets in the last 2 years, where specific monies have been ring-fenced to provide rural transport services. Now, what Michael is talking about is provision of services by phone and by broadband. That is there, and the vast majority of people are receiving those services as they need them. These connected hubs is an example of where we're putting in place infrastructure to allow people to in rural areas not to be required to travel into Limerick or to travel into Cork or travel into Dublin. That's part of the solution, making it easier for people to work remotely or to work from home specifically. That's part of the solution as well. It's not just about train lines in areas where there may not be a population to support the viability.
Michael, I suppose if I get to sum up Barry's argument, it's essentially, listen, we've done an awful lot of work in this regard and we're doing more.
Except we haven't. I mean, look, towns like Kilrush, Ennis, Nenagh, Ross Grey, big towns right across the length and breadth of this country receive a worse intercity bus service now than they did 10 years ago, than they did 20 years ago. And at the same time, we're sort of diminishing the service, cutting the service and asking more people to use the service which has been cut. It simply isn't joined up thinking. It's not what people are going to respond to. Instead of using the stick all the time in the population, the government need to use the carrot, put services in place and people will use them.
Would you accept there's a lead-in time though? You know what I mean? In terms of kind of an acute fuel crisis we find ourselves in, an encouragement to use public transport, you know, the government can't suddenly put on, much as I would like the government to put on extra trains that would get me down to Kilkenny after 7 o'clock in the evening, it can't be done overnight.
Oh, there is a lead-in time, yeah, and fuel prices have been increasing for almost a year now, and nobody sees an end to this. They're going to continue to increase into the future. Just as there's a lead-in time in improving our health system, we still haven't seen any measurable improvement in our healthcare system 3 years after, almost 3 years after the start of a pandemic. So yes, there's a lead-in time, but unless we actually start tackling the problems, we're not going to get there. And we haven't, you know, the pandemic has almost come and gone and our healthcare system is still, it seems to be incapable
and
of dealing
with it. And our healthcare system stood up to it, in fairness, Michael, and it's not fair to suggest. I'm not comfortable defending everything the HSE does, but in fairness, we had an incredible reaction to the pandemic in this country in terms of everything from vaccinations to the treatment of people who had COVID, and I think credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I'm waiting to have this, and I'm not going to relitigate COVID-19. I'm trying to avoid it as much as I possibly can. So listen, Michael McNamara, Independent TD from Clare, and Fine Gael Senator Barry Ward, thanks a million, both of you, for joining me here on the show. The train in and out of Galway, one listener has gotten in touch about no commuter train or frequency. I'd take the train if the service was in place. Can you please try to get an answer from Senator Ward? Why is there no Lewis line connecting Dublin City to Blanche to the airport for people to commute by electric train to Dublin City for work and to the airport? It's been talked about for 20 plus years. And by the way, Dublin 15 is the fastest growing urban area in Ireland. We're not necessarily, much like COVID-19, I don't think we're going to get into the issue of Metro North, but it is a point that is well worth raising, and thank you for the text. 53106, the number. Stay with us. We'll have all your business news next.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.